Lovely to be here with you this Tuesday afternoon. And we've got New Zealand's biggest cricket correspondent. We dressed him up as that yesterday. And true to his word, he's been good enough to come in to chat about the impending test series.
Somewhere between 6-7 and 7-2.
No, it's 6-10. Max, officially. Gaunt, hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, guy. It is 6'10". I've been told 6'10". So I've never actually stood next to someone's feet and measured myself, but I've been told it's 6'10".
6'10", that's nice.
Yeah. 6'10" will do.
Yeah.
We might ask you towards the very end a bit about the footy and pre-season and where you're at. But you are here to talk cricket. And Tim Southey's going to join us later on.
Yeah.
Your cricket bona fides, what are they?
This is my dream job. To be a New Zealand cricket correspondent. I've been sending my resume in for ages and finally Johnny Clark responded. But
Well, he needs to get a kick up the bum. I'm not sure why we didn't get you in sooner than this.
Well, it's because New Zealand don't make their way over to Australian summer point. Very often.
That's a good point.
I have to go to the Sri Lankan radio shows. That's who we normally play over this time of the year.
Right.
I'm proud Kiwi. I wasn't born there, so we'll get that disclaimer out first. Mm-hmm. But did live there early on in my life, and mum, dad, and my brother are the only people in Australia at the moment. So go back there for Christmas most years. Usually catch in on the Boxing Day Test match. Last year was a cliffhanger. New Zealand, Bangladesh. We won by an innings and 200 runs. So.
Snuck over the line.
Yeah.
Is there a hometown of the Gaunts, or are you kind of spread out in New Zealand?
So it is Greymouth, which is the southwest coast, in between Queenstown and Christchurch.
Right. So. What sort of size town?
Not many. I'd say 10,000.
Right.
Miserable place, named after what it looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
So none of the beautiful mountainous meets the sort of lakes meets the ocean type arrangement?
So the beautifulness stops in Queenstown. Oh, right. In fairness, it doesn't. There's some beautiful places to drive around Queenstown and the first 4 hours of that drive is really good. But
I know the Winnebago community, which I was a brief member of. The New Zealand Winnebago tour, that is apparently the...
That'd be pretty special.
Creme de la creme. Yeah.
Every second car on the road there is a Winnebago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you play any cricket as a kid?
Yeah, I was a bowler, as you can imagine.
Tell me it was express. It express pace?
More about my morning Morkel type, steep bounce.
Okay. Yeah. A bit of Tom Moody.
A little bit off what the MCG was probably delivering yesterday was me, just real steep bounce off a good length. But I only played till I was 16, 17. Nothing too serious.
Were you a bit mad as a quick? Like, you always try and bowl. You always think you're bowling quicker than you probably are when you're a medium pacer. Did you ever get a little bit, kind of hot under the collar and...
No, I wasn't.
Typical fast bowler.
I wasn't Neil Wagner. I wasn't one of those people.
No.
I was more cool, calm and collected. A bit more Tim Southey-esque.
Okay, righto.
And I was off a short run-up as well. So.
Right. Is that because you just don't like running?
Yeah. It didn't make sense to extend the run-up.
Did you ever bowl, Andy?
I started as a very ordinary medium pacer and then realised that was rubbish and started bowling offies towards the end of my...
doorknobs.
Little, didn't spin much. But I could bowl darts, I could sort of keep it under 3 and over if I had to for a while.
A lot of people who described their cricket would start at the medium pace and ended up at off spin. Everyone did what Andrew Simons did.
Yeah.
That's how you played locally.
Yeah. Do you like your New Zealand cricket team? We'll talk to Southey about this later, and I've had the good fortune to share a commentary box with Brendan McCullum and look forward to doing more this summer. And he was the architect of this let's play in that let's appreciate and respect the spirit of the game that the Kiwis have become sort of famous for with their cricket team. Do you like the way they conduct themselves?
Yeah, I do. They're my favourite sporting team by a country mile, including non-international teams. Melbourne Demons are probably number one.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
Black Caps are right up there, and probably because what Brendan McCullum brought to the field. His legacy is what has turned into where they are now, and the World Cup was obviously a miserable night a couple of months ago, but to see a nation of 4 million people turn up on the World Cup stage and the main stage of cricket and be able to do that against the Poms was pretty exciting. And I've been wanting them to come to Australia for this sort of series, but obviously we had to give up our own home series.
Yeah,
similar to South Africa, they're never normally here for this Boxing Day stuff. And I think we're pretty happy to give up New Zealand, Bangladesh on a Boxing Day in Christchurch in front of 2,000 people to be here. So yeah, I'm very, very excited.
So that notion of let's make a statement. And this goes to both of you blokes in a cut and thrust hard world where, particularly in men's sport, where it's all about let's be mean and full of bravado and let's get angry and and be intimidating and all that sort of stuff. When a team decides to take that on board, And let's be the personification of that. Let's make sure that as a team, this is what we represent. Would that be a difficult thing to do, to have that, you know, run through the core of a team?
It depends what that uniformity is, because all teams generally, they're trying to come up with something that's, you know, unites all. But if your style is that hardcore macho aggressive, and there's guys in your team who aren't like that, that might be a bit of a challenge. I think that's one of the challenges of coaches.
That's the thing, isn't it?
The leaders at your club. Yeah. What's the group you have, and what's something that can bring them together that doesn't sort of ask people to betray who they really are?
That it be what they're not.
To be inauthentic, and that would be going against a lot of leadership self-help books at the moment.
It's the hardest thing in leadership, to be able to see that. Mm. The best thing about what Brendan has done is, listen to me call him Brendan, I don't know him.
It was the most cricket correspondent moment you've had so far. I went, oh, jeez, okay. Yeah, getting inside.
We'll pick this up. You picked your favourite 11. Is it your best 11 or your favourite 11?
My favourite 11.
Your favourite 11. Yeah. We'll get to that after. We're going to break for the news. Hobbsy's standing by with the latest from the SEN newsroom. Max Gawn, our special guest in the studio. New Zealand's number one cricket correspondent, Max Gawn, in the studio with us. Greymouth white bait pancakes. Somebody's sending through off our speckled text machine. Max, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. White bait is one of the only things Greymouth is known for. my granddad's out there normally every day fishing for white bait. It's very, very popular. It's a popular cuisine choice in Melbourne. I find white bait on the menu.
Yeah. Mm.
Quite regularly. I don't think they put it in pancakes. I think they fry it, but the pancake one's an acquired toast.
I imagine it would be.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim Southey's joining us later on.
Yeah.
So you're on notice.
Yeah.
You've picked your favourite New Zealand Test 11.
If I went for best looking, Southey would be captain.
Okay, right.
But unfortunately.
Rooster, is he?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
he's in Perth, so he can't come into the studio.
No, we're speaking to him later on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I'd stick around for that if he was coming into the studio.
Yeah, a bit later.
I mean, as you know, I'm probably not going to pick the best 11 on terms of talent. It's not usually the way I go.
No, this will be interesting.
But it's hard to ignore the captain would be Kane Williamson. That's hard to ignore.
So it's not in batting order.
No, I'll go batting order. Opening the batting is Jesse Ryder and Peter Fulton. Peter Fulton, nicknamed 2 Metre Peter.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah.
He's one of the only 2 metre batsmen going around.
Does he predate Peter Wright?
Yeah, he was before Peter Wright. He was the original 2 metre Peter.
Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
We've got to do something about Peter Wright then. Didn't know that was a borrowed nickname.
That's gone.
That's unbelievable.
He has a test average of about 28.
What do you like about him, other than the fact that he's tall?
Well, he's now the batting coach for New Zealand.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
So 2 metre Peter sticking around. Jesse Ryder, of course, he just writes his own name in that spot, doesn't it?
He's a bit loose.
He got kicked off the New Zealand team and was abandoned for 3 or 4 years and got given a chance to get his way back and got given a New Zealand A cricket spot and missed that flight because he was hungover. So that's how well Jesse Ryder's going, but a quality player.
He had enormous talent.
Enormous talent. He came here one summer.
Yeah, he did.
Wore his bandana. Yeah. Kane Williamson at 3 and captain.
Super player.
Hamish Marshall at 4. I don't know if you remember the first 2020 New Zealand Australia. Oh.
Curly headed.
And they both let their afros out.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
I do like an afro.
He had a twin brother, James. Hamish was the worst one, so he gets in the team.
Because of the hair.
Yep.
Yeah, love it.
BMAC, Brendan.
Of course. Yeah, BMAC, yep. Brendan. Yep. Yep.
Good
with
mates.
An O.
Yep.
Bren.
He's at 5. And then Chris Cairns, because you know what you're going to get. You're probably going to win because he's got money on it.
Right.
Always back self-interest.
And then there's a lot of all-rounders because it is my favourite position. So Scott Styris at 7.
Yep.
Great commentator, Scotty Styris.
Good commentator, yeah.
Jimmy Neesham, who's my modern-day pick. Right. I'm not sure if you know much about Jimmy Neesham, Bob. He's the reason why I'm on Twitter. He's a very funny social media
really?
Person.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I was looking to write him down. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he doesn't know how to play red ball cricket.
Who gets to decide all-rounder? As in the status.
Oh, well, you mean, can you accept that can you declare yourself as an all-rounder? Yeah. No, it has to be bestowed upon you.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. By who?
Well, by pundits. Like, you might be able
eventually
to bowl.
It becomes a graphic on the television. When does that cross
over? Okay, well, you answer the question first.
If your batting gets over 25 of an average.
That's exactly, yes.
And if, or if it's the other way around, if your bowling gets below 40.
So would Mitchell Johnson 35? Be as close as you get without it?
He's verging on.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Well, Tim Southee is our version as well. He has scored the most amount of sixes in New Zealand history in Test cricket.
In fact, I'll ask him that question. Yeah. I'll ask him whether he considers himself an all-rounder for you.
Yeah, please do.
What do you think he'll say?
He'll say no, because I'm presuming, because the way he bats, he comes out and takes a piss sometimes. So
there you go.
I'm presuming he'll say no.
Yeah, all right, good. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so then, Jimmy Neesham?
Yeah, and then obviously spinner Dan Vittori.
Of course.
We've got a new man, Dan Vittori, now, Mitch Sander. He's got glasses, bowls right arm offies. Left arm offies.
Spinners with glasses. There should be mandatory that you have a spinner wearing glasses in your team.
Correct.
Still waiting to hear if Mark Greatbatch is in there.
And the last two, I reckon these two are the best 10 and 11 ever to play for New Zealand.
Right.
A combined batting average of 4 in Ian O'Brien and Chris Martin.
Oh, I'm so glad Chris Martin got it.
Do yourself some, if you haven't seen Chris Martin bat.
Oh, so
the gap between bat and pad is the biggest.
Tail enders is one of my favourite genres. Favourite genres of sport.
There's a couple of texts. It's a classic Max Gorn 11, and you haven't let us down with that. If you want to buy into this 11, if he's missed one or two, that should be it. Take the tone of the 11 for what it is. And if you think that he's missed one or two, feel free to share them with us. 1-300-736-736. A couple of texts. Jacob Oram, very stiff.
Very stiff and very well known for his... We were in that magic 400-plus both teams in the ODI in Australia.
That's right.
He was the man who got the ton to get us over the line.
That's right.
Yeah.
And where's Murphy Sewer?
Murphy Sewer could be before my time.
I don't never even heard of Murphy Sewer.
Is he even a cricketer?
I think that might be just one of those names that someone on the text message made up.
Made my 11.
Murphy Sewer did. Gee, Tim Southee's going to be upset.
Yeah, Tim didn't.
We won't mention that.
He's a tad too mainstream.
Is he right? He's a bit too good.
He's over 300 wickets or something.
Is Kane Williamson in because of the beard?
Kane Williamson in there because I've never seen someone who's so dominant at their game and be so humble at the same time.
It's a very good call.
To be at the top of your game, most people are egotistical maniacs.
Yes.
And he, amongst with Smith, Collie, and Joe Root, although Joe Root is a little bit laid back, but he just doesn't really fit that mould. That's why
It's a very, very good call. So the beard, him growing the beard, had no bearing on your decision at all, given the fact that you are the people's beard?
No. Okay. I mean, I do like that he's growing a beard, but...
If we were doing a best New Zealand 11, who would be locked? Who are just absolute locks?
Well, it's all time.
All time.
The best two ever are Crowe and Hadley.
Yeah, they're in.
So they're in.
Williamson's probably in your best ever 11.
And then Williamson, Ross Taylor, Steve Fleming, Nathan
Astle
would be the batting lineup.
Right, Edgar?
Yes,
two lefties.
Vittori be in it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Vittori's almost our highest. We could take all
second,
or is.
Behind Hadley.
Behind Hadley.
Yeah. So Southee's number three on that list.
And then Bolt and Wagner. So good, the current team at the moment is the best 11
and
going.
And you had that other quick, Bond.
Shane Bond.
Who
always
had bad back. I think he always had injury issues. But he's at his best. He was.
He's been on and off as the bowling coach a bit throughout this era as well.
So we've got a couple of calls. Your team on the Telstra at Frankston open line. Joel's in Doreen. Don't know how he can be, but anyway, Joel, fire away, mate. Max Gorn's Test 11, favourite Test 11 from New Zealand. What do you got for us?
Everyone's favourite opener, Lou Vinson.
Yes.
Although he was a bit of a one-hit wonder. He came out and smashed a beautiful hundy, don't think I saw much since.
We kept waiting for the next one, didn't we? We really did. Dan's in. Thanks, Joel. Back to it. Dan's in Narre Warren. Far away, Dan.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Thank you.
Good, mate.
Quickly, though, before I get to my player, the harmony in this team is going to be no good with McCullum and Cairns in the same side.
Yes, correct.
They got some issues.
Yeah, McCullum testified against him at trial.
Oh, my God, he did too.
Which is an issue. I didn't think about that when I picked the 11.
Fortunately,
they're probably never going to be asked to play with one another.
360-degree feedback, knock it on the head, one session, all done.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Honesty session. Yep.
Then the Sunday keg. Fine.
Perfect.
Move on.
You've got a player, though. I can sense you've got a player for us, though, Dan.
Yeah, I do, but I feel Jesse Ryder's probably taken the skin folds for him in Craig McMillan.
Yes, Craig McMillan.
Yes.
See, that's a good one to bring up. Are you an all-rounder or not? Because Craig McMillan got about 50 test wickets. which is almost classified as someone who bowled a little bit.
I'd love for someone, maybe you two might be the people to come up, a statistical number that you have to reach to be an official.
Well, why don't we do that later on?
Yeah.
We'll do that later on the show. Murphy, before we get to a break, Murphy Logosua, former New Zealand cricketer, played 13 tests and 12 one-day internationals for the Kiwis. He's the only Samoan-born cricketer to play test cricket for New Zealand.
What era?
Oh, yeah, what era, Clarkey? Well, debuted, whichever you prefer, in 1992.
Oh, you must have missed that. I was watching cricket earlier, but not when I was one.
No, I can't remember that fella at all. More with you on the other side. If you want to join in, 1-300-736-736, New Zealand's biggest cricket correspondent, Max Gawn, our special guest. Max Gawn, our special guest, talking cricket. We're obliged to speak a little bit of cricket, footy with you before we let you go, but in here picking his favourite New Zealand Test 11 because he is of New Zealand stock, of course. There's a lot of feedback coming through. Now, there's two things. It's favourite and it's players that you've seen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people saying Lance Cairns has to be in the 11, but he was around.
Lance Cairns is a little bit older.
Yeah.
There is a few guys. Like Ian Smith, the way he commentates makes me feel like he'd be my favourite person ever, but I never saw him play. He almost made the team based on his commentary.
Yeah. Well, he's a plucky. He's a bit like, he's your
he's
version
a wicketkeeper,
of,
wasn't he?
Yeah, Ian Healy.
Yeah.
He's your version of Ian Healy. Sort of pugnacious, good sort of rear guard. He'd take the opposition on. Even he might have come in at 5 for 90 or 6 for 110 and he'd sort of take him on.
Is it a silly question to ask who's better out of Lance and Chris Cairns? Is there a big gap?
Chris was seen as one of the best all-rounders of all time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think Chris is probably more talented than Lance.
Yeah.
Is that some New Zealand cricket fans will probably think we're being completely disrespectful saying that.
Well, Chris is in both of the top tens. Chris is in both of the top tens for wickets and runs.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
Before I get to the texts.
And bets.
The speckled texts. So you say that I think Eddie bets. And then I have to think, that's what he's talking about. Yeah, that's what he's talking about, that other stuff.
That got through us.
He was one of the front. You won't remember this, but Chris Cairns was one of the great blokes in 4X Gold Beach Cricket when it was around.
Yeah, right.
Do you remember that? No, you're not allowed to say no.
That was it a Channel 10 4X Gold?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
who commentated that?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for Gucci. Gucci was front and centre, but Cairns... The New Zealand bikes were super.
I think I accidentally left it on TV one day.
Oh, that's nice of you. What a lovely thing to say. Just because I said they're going to trade you. They're just clearing the next trade.
We need to get into that.
No, we don't. Dion Nash, who was one of the... They reckon Dion Nash could have been a superstar footballer.
Yep, correct.
Superstar AFL footballer, like Aussie rules footballer.
Really?
Yeah. Danny Morrison, a bit before your time.
He's too big now. On Big Dollars commentating in the IPL.
Yeah, true. Deepak Sixpack Patel.
I know a little bit about him. Little bit.
Adam Perore and some bloke called Solsberger.
Perore.
Adam Perore was a keeper.
Yeah. Who's Solsberger?
I don't know Solsberger, Adam Perore was a keeper. But you know that most of them are known as wicket keeper batsmen. Uh-huh. Adam Perore was a wicket keeper.
Didn't know he couldn't way to hold it.
he almost batted at 9.
And somebody thinks Daryl Tuffy. Do you remember, was Daryl Tuffy around when you were watching?
He's just a great name.
Yeah.
That is a good name.
The bloke who said, Jason sent through the text on the speckled text. He's remembering his 13 ball opening over against Australia.
Oh, that's it. Actually, do yourself a favour and type in Daryl Tuffy opening
13
over.
13 ball.
Yeah. Imagine what that's like, Steve Harmison, but worse.
Yeah, I think Fleming was the captain. Oh, it's great. It's great vision.
Mate, that is just shocking, isn't it?
It went for runs as well. It went for runs.
Land it, Daryl.
Imagine how long that would take. 13 ball. You'd feel like there was an hour.
But imagine the build up,
how many left arm?
Enormous build up to the start of the Test series.
Okay.
Is this over ever going to goddamn well end? Unbelievable.
He had a great haircut, Daryl.
I've no interest in New Zealand cricket. However, this is one of the very funniest segments I've ever listened to. Well done, gents. All right, somebody else. So they're loving your work. Footy.
Yep.
We won't do too much. But are you worried that Melbourne is clearing the decks to trade?
You couldn't get it out, could you?
No, I couldn't. I looked at you like I was half serious, but we'll move on. How's pre-season going?
That's a boring question.
Yeah, I was speaking to this off
air. There's a little half volley outside.
I've been asked this question over the last... This is my 11th pre-season. And right. I thought we're going to win the flag in all 11, and some of them we collected the spoon. So I don't think I've got much wisdom at this time of the year. I do feel like we've moved on and got over 2019. It's already into next season. So it's an exciting place. We've got Burgess, who he might not even be bringing that much different, but the name and the fact that we've got this world-class fitness fella has made us feel like we're all fit.
I'll take it, there's a placebo on offer, you had
the Cordy for a while. He was the guru in this space.
Justin Cordy.
He was the guru in this space there for a while. So did you feel like, oh, whatever he does, it's going to make us
some of these fitness guys, they've got a bit of front, and Justin had a lot of front. And I was all up for that. So he'd tell us we're doing this, and this is different to what everyone's doing.
Yeah.
And I knew that there's a chance that this was absolute shite. But I was like, I don't care. This is great. Breathe it in. Yeah. Breathe it in.
When the bloke arrives,
everyone's training hard.
Yeah, but whoever it is, wherever they've he's come from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, he was working with Manchester United.
He's actually giving us some good stories on Arsenal at the moment as well.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I reckon you give them like 2-3 months, anything they say is correct.
Yeah.
And gospel. Then you start working it out that, you never know, I might not work it out.
It is a pretty close relationship though, Max. Can you give us an insight though that, because you know clearly the senior coaches has the biggest impact inside a footy club, that's obvious. But the relationship with players and that head of fitness, it's a really tight one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. I've been close with, this is my third head of fitness now. It's funny how they seem to stay, and I'm up to my seventh coach, but you do stay strong with them, mainly because you always think if you're better friends with them, they'll give you one less 200 or one less 300 potentially.
Soften the blow a tiny bit.
But you do a lot with them, especially over this period. It's basically Goody does his bit, and then the rest of the time you're with Burjo. Yeah.
And so, what's happening pre-season camp wise this year?
Are we allowed to say the Melbourne players allowed to talk about pre-season camps yet?
On here you can.
Yeah, that's good. We weren't allowed to talk about that for about 18 months, but
is that up to Malala Bay?
We had the bricks and stuff. Adelaide sort of took the ball for us, which was good. We were in trouble, and then Adelaide came in with their camp.
In the slipstream. All of a sudden, the sleep deprivation didn't seem so bad.
Thank God for Adelaide.
The brick to the head was good, wasn't it? No, look, we go to Maroochydore, so we'll be doing that again. Everyone talks about the cans. It's more about the time you get away from each other 7 days. You could take us to Phillip Island, I'm sure we'd get the same experience, but good to go get the heat. The stories about Burjo when he took the Port Boys to Dubai was like the hardest camp of all time. So we're just preparing ourselves.
Yeah.
Burjo's really keen on not telling us how many runs are left in the set. He's one of those guys.
Which is the player who's having the hardest time with not knowing exactly what the task is?
To be fair, it's hard to adapt for all of us. Christian Petracca, although he's come back flying, he's one of the hardest persons to adapt to. The most scariest bit is he does 100-100s, Burjo, but he's into this thing about not telling us. So one day we're going to be doing 100-100s, and we're not going to know when. How many hundreds do you reckon it'll take before we go, I reckon this is the 100-100s.
I don't reckon this is the day we do 59.
Would it be about 22 in, you reckon? You start going, I reckon we're doing 100 of these.
Yeah. You don't want to get to 83 and they go, righto, boys, that's it. Stop there, go on.
That's great.
It was 83 day. Damn it.
What can you tell us about Luke? We're running out of time. What can you tell us about Luke Jackson? Have you seen enough to get a sense for what he's bringing to the table?
He's gone against Ruckman Code and he's done some of the best ground balls I've ever seen at training in the first week. He picked up a ball. He was on me. I went up in the marking contest and I think he did as well. But when I turned around, he was 20 metres another way picking up a ground ball. So he's an exciting player. I'm not sure what position he's going to play in. At the moment, it looks like Ruck, but he could be a forward. He could. I think Goody said he might be a mid, which leads me, Darcy and Peter Street did a bit of swapping around.
Did, yeah.
Darcy played as a mid.
Yeah, one of the classic ruck duos. So
maybe Jackson and the ruck and I could play a little bit of on ball potentially.
Coleman.
I wasn't thinking forward. Yeah. But I'm very, very excited. He's an athletic kid.
And as I know whether you noticed, there's a lot of movement around the place captaincy-wise at the minute.
There's a lot of people do it early. We seem to always pick our captain around February, March.
Okay.
And it's been Nathan Jones for 7 years, so there hasn't been much news around it. But
will you put your hand up for it, Max?
It's a job I'd love to do. I don't think anyone would shy away from captaincy, and I certainly wouldn't. And it's the oldest club in the land, so it'd be great to do it. But at the moment, we have currently a captain who's one of the best young leaders in the comp, so I'm pretty happy where I am at the moment. And I know Jack would love to improve on a few things himself, but he's currently the captain and he is a great young leader.
Feel free to come in whenever you like. It's been a joy to spend a bit of time with you today. Good luck with everything and good luck in the new year. You've got a big start to 2020 personally, and we wish you all the very best with that, and we very much with the footy that comes thereafter, mate. Thanks for being part of it today.
Thank you.
Max Gawn joining us, the Tradies Hour. Thanks to Tuscan Paths, available at Bunnings Warehouse.